Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
You guys ready to jump into James? If you guys enjoyed this sermon series, it's been all right. I've been presenting, the book of James was really a personal challenge of mine because just such an interesting book. A book that even Martin Luther wanted to remove from the New Testament. It's a book that it carries very little Christology. It's a book that, if taken incorrectly, presents a concept of works. And I want to dispel the works mindset connected to this. And I want to, present it. What I've been presenting it is a book of keys to unlock the fullness of what Jesus has purchased for us. And, what this is a book of wisdom, inviting us into a life saying Jesus purchased it all, and here's a lifestyle that we're being invited into that will actually unlock the full potential of what Jesus accomplished on the cross for us. And so, I was listening to this teaching by Irwin McManus, and it was a leadership teaching, and I had this little quote that I wrote down. He said, "Leadership is less about being a domain of knowledge and more about helping people know what it means to be human." So leadership is less about where we are going and more about who we are becoming. And he uses this example where he took these children, this researcher over the course of many years was studying human genius. And he took a group of five-year-olds, like hundreds of five-year-olds, and they tested them for their IQ. And they found that 98% of five-year-olds had the capacity for genius. 98% of five-year-olds had the capacity to be geniuses. Over the course of the next few years, those five-year-olds, when they became 12, they tested them again. And that number went down from 98% to 30%. And then again, at the age of 15, it went down to 12%. And then by the age of 30, it was down to 2%. And one of the things that they extracted was that all humans are created with the potential of being geniuses. But actually, in the course of life, the more we are being required to live, experience, and to steward our lives, the further we become, further distance we create to actually knowing how to do life. And he presents this idea that, like, the reality is that God created us with this incredible potential, but no one knows how to live it. No one knows how to walk it out. And he goes, leadership is this, is looking through the scriptures and helping people learn what it means to untap the full potential of what God's created inside of you. And you guys all right? And that's what brings us to the book of James. Is the book of James is, I believe, is one of those things, hard statements, encouragement to live a certain way, not for the sake of your salvation, but to unlock the kingdom reality of what God has made available for you and I, to unlock the full potential of what God's put in us. Is that all right? And so that brings us to part four. Go with me to James 3:13. I've been talking about how every little passage we go through, I've been presenting it as this is the key. And what I want to present today's key is the key to unlock your God-designed potential. Ready? Let's read it. James 3:13. "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. For this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For wherever envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then is peaceable and gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So we're going to dig into this. He presents that there's two conflicting wisdoms that he is presenting. The wisdom from above and an earthly, sensual, demonic wisdom that is scripted in hell. How many of you guys know James is not mincing his words here? And he presents this idea of wisdom in living from a well of wisdom. And that word wisdom, you know, there's a lot of words for wisdom, but the one that's uniquely used here is very interesting, and it sets the course for the meaning of this passage. And he presents the word wisdom, and oftentimes we have boiled wisdom down to making a wise choice. You invested your money in Google 20 years ago. How many of you guys know that was wisdom? Right? You invested your money in Apple back in the 80s. That was incredibly wise. You can look at the word wisdom and you see like wise moments or good decisions or smart decisions that you make. That's not what this word means here. The word wisdom here is not just a wise singular moment, but is actually the word for philosophy. And what it means is a philosophy that you look at life through. It's a philosophy that you live from, that all the decisions of your life would actually flow from this one philosophy that you look at life, this is what's important, and you continue to show value and significance for that every day. You are living wisely because you live from this philosophy. That's what this means. And so it's basically a philosophy concerning life that we base all our decisions from. And he presents that there's two opposing philosophies. One comes from heaven, one is scripted by the divine, one is the one that you were created to live and thrive in, and one was authored by hell. And when partnered with, it's demonic, and it exists to destroy the call of God on your life. And here's the important thing we have to understand, is that there's a wisdom from heaven, and there's a wisdom from hell, but on the earth, they will both be considered wisdom by someone. This is really important to understand, is because there are ways of living that the world will call wise, but is actually sensual and demonic. And there will be societies and pockets of people that live a very specific way, and there will be a temptation to live a certain way under the guise of wisdom. But how many of you know there's a way that seems right to a man but only leads to destruction? And what we have to understand is that we've been invited to live entirely different from the rest of the world, and there is only a wisdom that comes from above. One partners with the divine will of God concerning your life, and in that wisdom, angels participate with this movement. You know, how many of you guys know, like, man, we love it. How many of you guys know that when you pray, angels are loose on assignment to partner with your prayers to advance the agenda of heaven? Come on. How many of you guys know that when we worship, we literally transcend the earthly realm and we participate with the worship that's going up around the throne room, and the veil between heaven and earth become incredibly thin, and there's spiritual movement when we worship? Come on, how many of you guys know that when there are, I love when we fast and we pray and things begin to happen, and Daniel fasted for 21 days and an archangel was assigned to his fasting and resisted the prince of Persia. How many of us love that there's a very real spiritual realm, and there are things that you do that activate spiritual realities when you do them? We believe this, right? Did you know that there's also philosophies of wisdom that you live from, and that when you draw from the well of the wisdom that comes from the Lord, you draw from a wisdom that comes from his kingdom, that there's actually a spiritual reality of things that are being loosed when you partner with the wisdom of heaven. That rain did a number on you guys this week. It says that there's another well of wisdom. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic, which literally means that it is scripted in hell. Literally, like a wisdom that is so sneaky, it is so cryptic that it's actually been scripted by demons. It will be considered wisdom, but it'll be entirely demonic. And that when it's lived from, the decisions that we make from that well will actually participate with a demonic agenda to destroy the call of God on your life. And all the while, we'll call it wisdom, 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 but there'll actually be a demonic construct to it, and assigned entirely to take the call of God directly out from underneath your feet, to write you out of God's story. And there's these two opposing philosophies that are presented to us. In verse 14 and 15, he presents the demonic philosophy, and he says this. He says, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth, for this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For wherever envy and self-seeking exist, confusion in every, say every. Every evil thing exists there. I'm pretty sure that James was writing out a list of all the things that come up when you live from this demonic philosophy from your life. And he just said, never mind. Everything that's evil comes from this philosophy. Everything exists from this idea. He says that bitterness, envy, self-seeking, it's all demonic. It's not wise. It will never be wisdom. And wherever it is, confusion will fall in your life and evil will sprout up as its fruit. But there's another wisdom. There's a wisdom that comes from the throne room. It comes from the Father. And it's pure. It's peaceful. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. It's full of mercy. And then I love verse 18 in the NIV. I want to read you the NIV version. And it says, peacemakers who sow in peace will reap a harvest of righteousness. The fruit of wisdom from above is the righteousness of God. And you go, well, what does that mean? That's not a word that we typically use in our everyday life. What does that mean? This is another powerful definition. The word righteousness, it actually means that it creates an atmosphere of justice over your life. And what the idea is that the judge of all creation, of the living and the dead, is looking over your life. And when you are living as a peacemaker, sowing peace and living from wisdom that comes from above, it actually says the judge of all creation will look over your life and judge in your approval. Which means that every injustice assigned against your life, every horde of hell that's been assigned to take you out, every demonic agenda, every enemy to your life, the judge will deal directly with him and release a movement of justice in the realm of the Spirit over your life, because the decisions that you made and the philosophy that you lived from was aligned to the wisdom of heaven. And a whole atmosphere of justice gets released over your life. How many of you guys want God fighting for your battles? Even where you are not standing, God is places that you can't go, fighting on your behalf, because you have postured your life and you've sown your seed into the wisdom that comes from above, and justice movements have been released over your life. That's good. I want that on my life. And he presents these two philosophies. One is demonic, scripted by hell, to take you out. And you're going to call it wisdom all the while it's destroying your life. And there's another one. And this wisdom comes from above and is countercultural. And angels are assigned to carry out the will of God. And I want you to look at these two wisdoms. I'm going to unlock this for us. You guys ready? He presents two competing core philosophies of life. And he says, he uses language that's entirely wrapped around relationships. He says one is independent, self-seeking, it's egocentric, it's independent. Its goal is to is self-protection and the advancement of myself. This is a lens that we experience life through. Decisions are made from a basis of self-promotion. And I could, when we are living from an independent spirit, an independent philosophy, we can have friends, we can value friends, we can actually have relationships. But in the moment where I have to choose you or me, I'm choosing myself. It's this idea that I actually don't need relationships. I need to preserve myself. I need to fight for myself. It means that I could be running with somebody, and I could be doing life with them, and our callings are uniquely connected, and we could be pursuing the Lord. We're called to light the earth on fire, to preach the gospel, to advance the kingdom through our relationship and our connection. And when our connection begins to cause friction and disagreement, when I'm brought to a moment of what to do, I'm going to choose the protection and the promotion of myself, and I will break the relationship because I'm living from a philosophy of independence. It means that when I look at my life and I look at the need of my life, I don't write the connections and the relationships of other people into the needs of my life. I actually look from what is going to advance myself. It is egocentric, it's self-seeking, it's independent, and it originates from hell. But then what he presents is he presents the philosophy of kingdom interdependence. Everyone say interdependence. Wisdom from above represents the philosophy of interdependence. It seeks relational connectivity. It's gentle. It protects connection. It's willing to yield and give preference to someone else's needs. It's peaceable, and it makes decisions that invite peace in a relational conflict. Interdependence elevates each other because it recognizes relational connection as a way of living that's divinely inspired and the only environment that I'm able to succeed in. Interdependence is not codependence, but it recognizes that God created me in a way that I can only succeed in an environment of relational connectivity. It's like when you look at the redwoods, you know, the biggest, strongest, tallest trees in the world, right? And the reality is you'll never see a redwood that's standing alone. Why? Because redwoods, their ability to grow tall and to grow strong and to go higher than any other tree is completely dependent on the community of roots that are created in the forest. And their roots interlocked. And if one goes down, they all go down. And when any movement tries to take out a redwood, you have an entire community of redwoods holding it to its stance. Why? Because redwoods were created to be interdependent on the community that it was sown into. And this is actually an ecosystem of strength that God created for the redwood tree. And you and I were created by the divine, and our story is not independent from each other, but your story was interdependent on the success of the people around you. And when you're weak, there's a strength that comes around you. When a storm comes, like on Sue's life, it will be community that you were actually called to heal and to thrive in. Why? Because it's a demonic ideology to get you to stand alone so that you're vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. But when you're sown into community, you have voices of truth that will fight for your life. And so when you're living with like a philosophy of interdependence, you will actually elevate the relational need of your life. And when any storm comes against the connections of your life, instead of promoting yourself, you'll actually fight for the connection. Even to the point where you would lay your life down in order to elevate the connection up. And there's a moment that could come where lies or assumptions or disagreements or things are going on, right? And you're called to run with somebody. There's promises over your relationship. You've dreamed with God over this connection, this friendship. We're going to go to the nations, or we're going to change our community, or we're going to do life together and see God show up in our families and our homes. We're going to break bread together. You get all this vision. But all of a sudden, in doing life, the natural frictions get created, and all of a sudden that connection is being challenged. And the reality is the friction is highlighting something in you that's got to go. And so because it's got to go, God's using the community to highlight something. And if you're living from a philosophy of independence, you'll actually fight for your right to hold the very thing that needs to flee instead of actually fighting for the connection that's working something demonic out of your life. But when you actually elevate interdependence and the need of relationship in your life, you will actually allow the frictions to disciple you into Christ-likeness and actually work something out of you because you are actually being advanced by this moment, not being resisted by it. Is this making sense? And so this is why James is getting so intense, and he goes, there's two philosophies. You're either going to live for yourself or you're going to live for the connections that God's sown you into. And everything in your life is going to root out of these things. And if you fight for your own life and you literally are willing to break connections and relationships and not fight for relationship in your life, I'm telling you, it's going to become a demonic playground where the enemy will have his way and you will be written out of God's story, not because God, you've lost favor with God, but because you've allowed a demonic influence to isolate you from the place that you were called to thrive in. Because I'm telling you, if you understand what's around you, guys, if you look around you and understand that my calling is completely interdependent on the callings of the people around you, I need the person next to me. Look around the room. Do it. Don't look at me. You need them to fulfill the call of God in their life. And God's created his church to be dependent on each other in this way. That when one celebrates, we all celebrate. When one suffers, we all suffer. Why? Because we can all feel what's going on. We can all feel. You know, there's this actually, this like, I forget what it's called, but there's this actually this law of physics, that the physics and scientists, all those guys, I don't know what you call them. Physicists, that's the one. Physicists. I left that at 5 years old. I left that group of 98%. I'm just kidding. Power of my words. I know. There's this philosophy where there's actually a scientific thing and they can't figure it out. And it's when you take two cells and they break apart and they're micro beyond anything that you could ever see. When they separate, they could literally be in different ends of the universe. And it says that when one experiences a hit, the other cell still feels it. Why? Because written into physics is this very law of interdependence that God has scripted in his story. You will not succeed by yourself. This is why when people will oftentimes tell me, like, you know, I just feel like when things get really hard and difficult, I'm going through a hard season, people will be like, I just feel like God is calling me away and to be isolated and I need to go do this by myself. And, you know, and I always know that that's not actually from the Lord. Why? Because God's not a liar and he does not actually deny his own law. He doesn't deny his own wisdom and his own insight and his own scripture. God will not call you out of relationship. Will he move you on to a different community? Will there be transition? Of course there will. But he'll never isolate you unto yourself to stand alone, because he did not create you to exist by yourself. The independent spirit is a demonic spirit that will be called wisdom, but is actually a strategy from hell. You were created to thrive on the connections that God has sown you into in your life. Here's my proof. Ready? In 1 Corinthians 12:21, it says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. But on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. And while our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. For if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. This is the body of Christ, created by God from his own divine wisdom, that we would be interdependent. And this philosophy that we are invited to live in, that this is the power of it. When we consciously make decisions to fight for relationship, we all believe that when we pray, angels are on assignment. We all believe that when we worship, things happen in the realm of the spirit. We all believe there's, when we fast, things change. We all believe there's certain things, like an algorithm, when I do this, this happens. But what you don't understand is that when you choose to live from this reality and you consciously make decisions from the wisdom that comes from above, that there is an atmospheric righteousness and justice movement released on your life where God begins to move in invisible places. You're not nearly excited about that enough. Jamie, that was such a good word. I'm going to carry that in my heart for the rest of my life. Listen, there's a philosophy that you're called to live from. It's a deep core belief And it shows up. Jesus said, no greater love than this, and a man would lay his life down for his friends. We've been invited to live above and not beneath, to live from a heavenly reality. And there's a core belief that we need to come into agreement with and come out of agreement with the lies of the wisdom of the world, which is an independent spirit that fights for my own, fights for my land, egocentric. I am the hero of my own story. God wants to break the power of that thing off of our lives and actually get us to come into agreement with wisdom that comes from heaven. There will be people at times where you so lay your life down from others, people will actually try to tell you that it was unwise. But I'm telling you, you're not called to align to the wisdom of the world. They have a wisdom and it's demonic. You have been called to live entirely different. How many of you guys know it says that Jesus... where it says concerning Jesus, it says, rarely will you die for a good man, let alone that when we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. How many of us know what Jesus did was not wise in the eyes of the demonic spirit of independence? Culture looked at it as it was a wild thing that Jesus did. Never do that. But Jesus did something and unlocked a spiritual reality with the choice that he made by laying his life down for you and I. And we've been invited in the same law scripted by heaven to see his divine influence in our lives. James is not presenting really easy, accessible devotionals. This is not going to be a number one New York Times bestseller. You know, 5 steps to living joyful. What James is presenting is hard realities that literally yank us out of the flesh and thrust us into.